All guests' opinions are their own and do not constitute financial advice in any way whatsoever. Nothing published by ITSB Magazine or any of its affiliates constitutes an investment recommendation, nor should any data or content published by ITSB Magazine be relied upon for any investment activities or advice.
Welcome to the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society. Welcome to ITSB Magazine. You're listening to a new Delta X podcast with Ellen Hsu. These are conversations with changemakers, innovators, and self-starters who have made their mark on the world at a young age, breaking down the journeys of those who are changing the status quo and building the future today. Knowledge is power, now more than ever.
There's a key update, and I'm super excited to share with you that this podcast is now going to be called the Delta X Podcast. As I'm reflecting on the meaning behind this podcast and really what I want to bring to you guys, I think one thing that one common theme that I've realized is that I really want to be focusing on the change today, but also the future. So as Delta X implies, this is all going to be about the change in X, from technology to startups to investing and beyond, as have many conversations on this podcast have been about. And I truly believe that one of the best ways to learn is by actually talking to people, engaging with them, really listening to their mantras and mindsets and learning from that and replicating that within your own life as well. So hopefully this podcast will serve as that reminder in your day that change can come from pretty much anyone and how these change makers have been able to make their mark on the world. So who is exactly going to be on this new podcast? And I'm really excited to be bringing on some really amazing speakers and guests to be talking on this podcast. And as I'm a high school student, I'm realizing that there's a lot of youth, a lot of Gen Z that are doing really incredible things. And I've had the pleasure to be able to chat with them about what they're working on and how they were able to achieve such incredible things despite being at a young age. This is Delta X Podcast, a podcast about change and the future from the eyes of youth. So yeah, let's get started with our first podcast to kick off the first new revisited episode for Delta X Podcast. Hope you enjoy. I'm Ellen Hsu, your host, and today I'm here with Zach Cox, aka Young Investor on YouTube and Young Investor 2 on Twitter. He is a teenager who trades stocks, primarily trades growth stocks and SPACs, but also has a portion of his portfolio in Bitcoin. At such a young age, he has already reached over 6,000 followers on YouTube and 25,000 on Twitter for sharing his knowledge of investment and the stock market. So welcome, Zach.
Thanks for having me on.
So just to kick off, I'm wondering, how did you get started in investing at such a young age?
Yeah, so originally it was kind of the UK version of Robinhood, trading into one too. They ran an ad campaign one time for investing, and I thought, I'm going to lob probably $40 into it. Absolutely nothing. Just see how it goes. And obviously it's grown quite dramatically since I have invested more, but my portfolio since I started investing in the US stock market has done really well. So yeah, that's really how I started investing.
Yeah, and how old are you then?
12.
Wow. So you've been investing for about a year now?
8 to 9 months, I'd say. So almost 1 year.
Got it. And when you're deciding which stock you want to buy, how do you usually determine that criteria? How do you determine which stocks you want to have in your portfolio?
Yeah, so if I'm doing more of a swing trady kind of thing, I don't go all in on swing trades. But if I love a few quid into a swing trade, I'm just looking for kind of thing where kind of is it going to get a bit hypey in it? You know, for an example, at the moment EV is hot, there's a brand new EV spec on the market or something. Maybe think about, there's a rumor, for example, Lucid Motors are rumored to go public via a SPAC CCIV. I brought on the first day of that rumor out something like $12.98. That's at 33 before even an announcement. I've done that before with stuff like Arrival and stuff like that. So I like to do that. It's kind of more of a long-term thing. I'm looking for kind of quite high growth. Maybe it's a bit, maybe depending on how the market cap is, and a kind of high growth, you know, good management team, kind of low shorts and low shares in circulation. So it's easier to move upwards if you have, I don't know, somebody start talking about who's famous or whatever, or so people start buying and they force the shorts out. So that's going to cause your stock, if it's got a low float, to rise quite dramatically.
Yeah, so I know you mentioned like holding these stocks usually long term. How do you usually try to identify these growing sectors or these fields that you think are going to be up and coming?
Yeah, so at the moment I'm really big on everything online. I just think that online, the whole world's moving online. So I'm kind of looking for kind of undervalued kind of companies which the market hasn't picked up on yet. An example, a company called Shift, ticker symbol SFT. I bought that a week and a half ago at $8. I thought the market hadn't really heard of it. Today it's at something like 20%. So I'm looking for kind of stocks which are undervalued, under the radar. I mean, I picked up a stock recently, which is a micro-cap stock, $35 million market cap, which I'm going to be doing a video on tomorrow. So
Awesome.
that's, I'm looking for the kind of stocks, what's the market not picked up on yet? And is this stock going, is it going to go parabolic? Like, for example, Akamoto, I bought that stock at $6. For me, it was a no-brainer, because if they achieve their 50,000 vehicles a year, Akamoto is an EV company, that's going to be $600-700 million in revenue. They were currently trading at 150 million, and stock just went in, of course, 4 months I've owned it, from $6 to $33.
Got it. Yeah, I did watch a video on Arcimoto too. Really impressive how you were able to analyze in all of these indicators that you thought were going to mean that's going to grow in orders of magnitude in the next few years. So, yeah, and I think it's really interesting how you mentioned you're trying to catch these stocks that the market has kind of overlooked. So, how do you usually go about finding these? Because if most, if not all people are usually missing these, how do you go out and basically identify these stocks that most people are actually not really paying attention to?
The internet, there's just so much information on the internet. It does, if you're just browsing through something, or if you look up something really which you can possibly pick up on. So I kind of for undervalued stocks.
Yeah, I think you mentioned some criteria that you use, like high growth or good management team, also low shares in circulation. In terms of actually some of the numbers that you look at, do you look at company earnings and profits, or what do you use for your technical analysis?
Yeah, so I'm not really kind of a chart kind of person, but I'm looking for, so I don't really care about the chart, but yeah, I've got some people I know do that for me on certain stocks. But I'm more looking for what's your debt to assets. A company's got to be able to survive. I don't want to hold a company that goes bankrupt, then you lose all your money. It's
For
got enough
sure.
money to survive for, let's say, next 2 to 3 years. Is it high growth? What's the manager, what's everything like on the financial side? Did they make money last quarter? Did they lose money? Are they growing at 10% a year or going down 10% a year? So I'm looking at that kind of stuff.
Got it. So looking at more of like the big picture view, I'm kind of projecting that into the long term.
Yeah, what's the stock going to do 5 years down the line? Who's it going to be? Is it going to go from a $100 million company to a $1 billion company if they can deliver? So I'm just looking at kind of what could that stock could be, right, really long term, right down the line.
Yeah, I think you mentioned how you like to hold your stocks for like the long term. In general, what's your investment time horizon? When do you decide to sell?
Well, I don't have a certain time horizon for if the stock goes up too quick and it gets to the point where it ends up in a bit of a bubble, I'll sell it, even if it was meant to be long term. If you're going to get long term gains in, let's say, a month, then I might sell the stock. Or if it's kind of there's news or something which I don't like, I might sell it. But if it's kind of quite a steady mover, I'll keep that for the long term, most probably.
Got it. Yeah, and do you think there's any particular benefit towards like trading by the day or holding long term? Is there a reason why you prefer long term stock better?
Well, number one, if you're using that for like Robinhood, it's going to be pretty hard to day trade and get your orders executed in time. But there's a lot of effort into day trading. Constantly be on there watching that stock, buying and selling or whatever. So if I do a swing trade, it's not a day trade. It's kind of a trade for a week or whatever, or if it's more of a specky play. I just like long term, as you don't have to always worry about what your stock's doing during that time.
Yeah, that's true. And I know you have school as well, so I guess you can't always be on the lookout for these daily changes. Totally relate. So I know I've been watching your videos too, and you've been performing very well with your portfolio. If you don't mind sharing, could you mention your top performing stock and also your least successful investment example as well?
So I think just yesterday or recent week, I hit about 150% up. So now it hasn't been
That's
in a straight line,
incredible.
believe it or not. I used to be extremely heavily in SPACs back in October. until, let's say, it went out of fashion and I and it turned from 50% gain into a 50% loss.
Mm-hmm.
Lesson learned, take profits while you can. You know, a lot of these new SPAC investors, they have no clue what happened back in October. It lasted about a month. There was a bit of a bloodbath. But at the moment, I would say my best performing stock by far is Akimoto. I'm up something like almost 400% on the stock. I've interviewed the CEO on my YouTube channel before, Mark Romeyer. So it's definitely by far Akimoto. Probably my second one leading up is CCIB, Treasury mm-hmm. Capital Corp. And they have rumoured to be merged with Lucid Motors. This could go right back down to where I brought it if you don't get a definitive agreement. At the moment, I'm up about 176% on that stock. I would say worst performing stock, 0.5% of my portfolio into the most specky play ever. It could be a fraud or not, we'll see. But it's like called ATVK Ventures. I had nothing to lose. I lobbed about a £10 into that. And that sounds like 53%. This kind of thing where you're putting 0.5% of your portfolio into something. It doesn't keep me awake at night.
Yeah, for sure. In terms of if you were to see that one of your stock purchases was going down, how would you try to cut that loss? Since investments like about risk and reward.
Yeah, I would say one of the cases was highly, oh, I sold it when I was up. But the thing went from 18 to 55 and it fell like a rock once the reverse merger happened this back. It was like, it was down about 20% every day. I think the company had changed. It was just got really, really hyped. And then, you know, bursted. I didn't sell. It got down to 35 and I was up about 50% and I did sell it then. It's kind of thing, when you see, if it's really fully in the rock, it's kind of like, do you really want to hold that stock? Is it really the best investment? Just reevaluate why you made that investment. You know, do you actually think it can still make money? So honestly, if it's you know, you can always add to them and get your average there if it's a really good company and nothing really changed. But if it's not up there and maybe it was one of your more FOMO decisions, then maybe sell out of it and just take the losses and move on to the next one.
Got it. So yeah, kind of like taking another look at why you invested in the first place and making that decision on whether you want to sell it or not. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And also one thing that I found very interesting about portfolio, I know you mentioned that you have a portion of your portfolio in Bitcoin. So what do you think the trajectory of Bitcoin is kind of going? Is it right now at its peak or do you think it has a lot of potential to grow more? Where do you think it's kind of at right now?
Bitcoin is possibly 100,000 times better than gold in almost every way. It's all online. You know, it's hardly going to cost you anything to transfer your Bitcoin unless gold. It's going to cost you a lot to transport. And I think Elon Musk adding Bitcoin to the Tesla balance sheet, the first ever S&P 500 company to do so. I'm sure many more will follow. It's an absolutely huge step in, you know, Bitcoin being recognized as its own financial network. I actually recently got into some other cryptocurrencies. I'm in Ethereum. With Ethereum, you can actually buy tokens using Ethereum. I got into a thing called, it's a very small part of my portfolio, but I got into these things called Unisox. So there's this massive thing in the Ethereum network called Uniswap, and they once did 330 socks, actual socks, and sold them as merch. Let's just say those socks are now worth $23,000 per sock. So you can actually buy a token, which is basically a bit of ownership in a sock, like an actual sock. So you own a little bit of the sock and you get dividends if they have the sock on display in the museum. So you sometimes get some dividends and a bit more money coming for your uni socks. So that's really just kind of a fun kind of thing.
That is very funny.
It's kind of like, it's a really funny thing. I think it's a really, really kind of cool concept.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting. And it also kind of connects back to like what you're saying about looking at things long-term. You're seeing that a lot of these S&P 500 companies may be picking up Bitcoin. So it's going to cause it to become more high value in the future. So yeah, super interesting to hear that you also have part of your portfolio in Bitcoin. How has that been going, by the way? Has that been a good investment majorly?
Yeah, I don't check my Bitcoin account that often. It's the kind of thing where I just sit at that and forget. But I'm probably up 40% of my Bitcoin at the moment.
Wow.
It's not one of my highest returns, but honestly,
30% is still amazing.
Yeah, I say this prediction, but $300,000 a coin by the end of the decade.
Wow. Yeah.
Gold.
That's amazing. So yeah, I guess kind of moving on into the final few questions. So you've obviously have quite some experience at such a young age with investment. Do you have any resources in particular that you have found that were really helpful, or any books or anything that you think have really helped shape the investor that you are today?
Well, books. Let me see. So,
do you like pulling out these books from a shelf?
I've got this book. This is a really good book. This is from a few years back. It's called Bitcoin, the Future of Money by Dominic Frisby. He basically explains everything about Bitcoin, everything you need to know. And also Peter Lynch, Beating the Street. And one which is semi-investing related, but I think if you're going to become an entrepreneur, it's a must-read. It really gives you into the mind of, so basically a man called Ashley Vance followed around Elon Musk for 1 year for his book. And this one is pretty long read, but it's a phenomenal book. It really is. Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. And I think it's really funny how you're just pulling these books just right next to you. I didn't even see that in there. But yeah, super amazing. These resources, I feel like our listeners probably will definitely go check that out. I know I will definitely be checking these out straight after. But yeah, I think coming up to the final question, do you have any final tips and tricks that you think would be good for young investors that are trying to also get into stock market trading?
Just give it a go. Look, at the end of the day, if you're bad at investing and you're absolutely terrible, and it's the kind of thing where you don't have any patience and you find the most boring thing in the world, put it in an ARK ETF. I wouldn't say I said S&P 500 a few weeks back, but put in an ARK ETF. They're going to beat the S&P 500 more or less every year, and you're putting it in the hands of one of the greatest thinkers of our generation, a little bit behind Elon Musk and Cathie Wood.
Got it. Yeah, so putting it in an ETF is a good choice if, I guess, even if the worst case scenario, you turned out you're not good at investing. But yeah, that's really amazing. And you've obviously been able to do very well. So thank you so much for coming here and sharing some tips and how you have been doing in terms of a very young investor in the stock market landscape. So thank you so much for coming on, Zach. It was a pleasure having you on.
Thanks so much for having me on.
And for all of you guys who are listening, check out Zach's YouTube at Young Investor and his Twitter on Young Investor too. Thank you so much for all the listeners who are listening to this podcast. We really hope you enjoyed it. And you can see the summary notes. I'll link down Zach's YouTube and Twitter for easy access. And also you can see a newsletter for you to follow along and be notified whenever a new episode of the podcast is released. I'll be uploading a new podcast every other week, and I'll also be coupling this podcast, Delta X Podcast, with the newsletter. So I'll be breaking down the information into more compact emails and letting you guys know whenever a new podcast drops. So if you want to be updated, if you really enjoyed this podcast, make sure to check down the link below in the description and subscribe to the newsletter. Thank you so much, and we'll see you in the next one.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Delta X Podcast with Ellen Hsu. If you learned something new and this podcast made you think, then share ITSPmagazine.com with your friends, family, and colleagues. If you represent a company and wish to associate your brand with our conversations, sponsor one or more of our podcast channels. We hope you will come back for more stories and follow us on our journey. You can always find us at the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society.
All guests' opinions are their own and do not constitute financial advice in any way whatsoever. Nothing published by ITSP Magazine or any of its affiliates constitutes an investment recommendation, nor should any data or content published by ITSP Magazine be relied upon for any investment activities or advice.